What? We started.
I just said, give me one more second with my coffee here.
Forget it.
No. Why?
That was my cue to start.
Okay, so we're starting now. I'm groggy.
We have our coffees.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't done this, just you and I, for probably 6 months.
Yeah, we did the like 3 or 4 episodes in a row of just you and I. Was it 3 or 4?
Something yeah, like it was 4.
That's a lot.
I think it was Gary Texali, Sean Cullen.
Yeah.
Damian Abraham.
No, but I mean way before that when it was just me as a guest. Didn't we do a few like that?
We did one here.
Yeah.
And it was never heard. And I trashed it.
Right.
Because it was the, I think, Golden Globe Awards. And it just sounded like you and I were part of the Entertainment Tonight extended family commenting on movie stars.
But who do you think is going to win this year? Who's going to get a Globe-y, a Globe this year?
I don't know. So anyways, it's Nick Flanagan is here, co-host of the official Danko Jones podcast. And hey, it's me, Danko Jones here. And usually there's an introduction, but we haven't done a podcast, just you and I, for I'd say a year that people have heard.
Yeah,
it's been a long time. A guest, yeah.
And now here we are. We haven't seen each other for a while, haven't recorded a podcast for a long time. You went solo. You had to go on solo missions.
Yeah, for podcasts.
Those I was jealous of those. Those were good interviews.
Yeah, we had a huge kind of summit downtown with Brendan Canning and Damian Abraham and JC.
Yeah. Yeah, that one I didn't mind missing.
And Jan Schwartzkamp. Really?
No, I'm kidding. Of course I would have been like to be.
And Jan Schwartzkamp from Visions Magazine was there
too. That was a great
too.
Time. But I got disgust on it. I was there in spirit.
Hmm.
Disgust.
Is that cussed? Maybe. Just cussed.
Yeah, just cussed.
And since the two of us have done a podcast, just the two of us, we have garnered, we've always had Blue Mic Microphones sponsoring the podcast. And they, I must mention, came in super handy, not only for the Vakken Open Air interviews with Michael Ackerfeld from OPEF, Henry Rollins, and Jim Brewer, but also on this past tour, we had the Blue Mic microphones as well, and I did a few podcasts on the road with the Yeti Blue Mics. And I'm very happy to say that Skull Candy Headphones are a sponsor of the podcast. They've always been, but they've really kind of stepped it up. I'm handing you your very own Skull Candy headphones that you are going to be listening to on your way out of here when we're done.
I'm really
excited.
What
are those ones? Skull Candy. What is
it? Decibel Collection Supreme Sound Hesh.
Those are yours now.
Those are mine. I'm very excited. I can listen to my booming beats.
I got to say thanks to Pete from Skull Candy for doing that.
Thanks, Pete.
For the podcast. And
I know you, Pete, but thank you, Pete.
Honestly, though, I don't want anyone associated with this podcast who I am not a very cool with and down with and friendly with and use, like, for real, like, in real life. This isn't a fake sponsored podcast.
Right.
I love Skull Candy headphones, and I want everybody to know that I'm associated with it to some degree.
What about Chick-fil-A as a sponsor?
They will never be
a
sponsor. No, they will never be a sponsor. There's a third one, Vans shoes.
Yeah.
Are officially on board.
Nice.
So we got 3 sponsors. I think we're gonna cap it at 3, and that's it. And speaking of
I'm not wearing shoes right now. Is that gonna be a problem? Like, if they know that I'm not wearing shoes for the podcast, will they? Or maybe even more, they'll feel more like they really need to send me some shoes because I don't have shoes.
We'll talk about your living situation, I think, very soon and catch up. Because we haven't talked for 6 months.
So many problems and good
things. You've only kind of hinted at it through texts.
Well, wait.
Should we start this podcast?
Yeah, but I want to tell you that today I actually went headphone free on the public transit for the first time because you mentioned that the only reason anyone wears headphones in public is really just to avoid dealing with people.
Yeah, and I wear them all the time.
You don't even need to be listening to music. It's basically just a block out. It is true, right?
It's true.
And so
I keep them on when the record's over, whether it's an iPod. I just keep them on,
So some guy doesn't walk up to you asking you for directions.
Especially when it's cold. Like, do I have to take off my mittens now or my gloves and change the record?
You heard it here first, folks. Danko Jones has mittens. wears mittens.
I meant gloves. So let's start.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, we're back. Enough plugging. Let's dive headfirst into this podcast. So I haven't seen Nick in about 6 months. We've texted, we've emailed.
We hung out for a minute at your release show.
Oh, that's right.
The book release.
We had a book come out. Our band has had a lot of things happen to us over the past 6 months since you have had a lot of happenings as well. Mm-hmm. One of the things on our end was this book we came out with, Too Much Trouble, put out by ECW Press, written by Stuart Berman. We had a book release where Vish Khanna from CBC was hosting a discussion. And at the end of it, several people came up and did our songs karaoke style with members of Biblical and Colahead's backing.
Steamboat. Members of Steamboat.
Backing us up. Okay. Who's that? Jay's band?
Yeah. Okay. Steamboat's a good band.
He's also in Biblical, though.
Okay.
And obviously, you didn't know that.
I know that, too.
Okay. Nick went up and he did. What song did you sing?
Oh, The Mango Kid.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And you were so nervous now, I remember. And I said, don't be nervous, man. Look, if you're really nervous, I'll come up and I'll help you sing the song.
Then you backed out of that.
I gave you the finger from the crowd.
Yeah, I got a lot of heckles. I'd never really practiced the song, and I thought it went okay.
Yeah, you did pretty good, and I have it all on video.
Oh, great.
Maybe we'll use that as an outro.
Yeah, and then you did another song, and everyone was very happy at the end of
it. And I forgot the lyrics.
Right.
Because I'm used to singing the songs. I have muscle memory with holding a guitar.
Yeah, that's a weird thing when you realize it's all just muscle memory and none of it's in your head anymore.
Yeah, you realize that, I just call it in every night, don't I?
Or it's like it's not attached to thoughts anymore.
Well, I like to get it to...
It's easier that way.
I like the songs to be rehearsed to the point where don't have to think about it and can concentrate on other things. Mainly, eye contact with the crowd is my biggest thing for a live show.
Scanning the crowd for any thugs and miscreants that you might need to have ejected.
I just think that it's... When I went to shows or when I go to shows, I love eye contact with whoever's on stage.
Yeah. I do that. I mean, that was always happening with the band. But then with comedy, I try to do that. It's weird. It's like I'm looking at people directly.
That's a little more intimidating, a little more intense.
But I heard a podcast where comedians were talking about it, too, where they said, you know, it's pretty obvious if a comedian is, like, doing the thing where they're looking at sort of the end of the room. Mm-hmm. You know that trick?
That's obvious, too.
Yeah, so you kind of have to do the for real.
And speaking of podcasts... People. Just me being a very thorough person.
Right.
I heard you on a podcast.
Oh yeah. I go on podcasts sometimes.
This one was fairly recent.
Yes.
Because I do searches often.
Google alerts.
And, you were on, I don't know the name of
it. Is it the Rehash podcast? Probably. That was the most recent podcast. Matt O'Brien's Rehash podcast.
Yes, then that would be it.
A Twitter-themed podcast, but really it's mostly just about comedy, comedians, and interviews and stuff. Although it is the Twitter-themed, because I'm at The Flans on Twitter, and if you want to follow me based on that.
I don't know this guy.
Yeah, comedian.
And not that if I know someone, then they're known.
Yeah.
I might just be out of it. But I did... And people who listen to this podcast may be getting an idea of how I am. I'm a half glasses, half empty kind of guy.
Right.
And I noticed a certain tone he took when my name was brought up.
Wasn't he excited?
He was, I don't know, it was a mixture of being flabbergasted and...
Which is a bit amused. Weird whenever someone's flabbergasted.
I couldn't read what his reactions, where they were coming from. So I just concluded that it was a negative.
No, I think it was positive.
Was it?
Yeah, I think it was
he
very
positive.
He
couldn't believe that really you stoked. Were the co-host of this podcast with myself.
Yeah, he was talking about it, actually, now that you mentioned it. He was talking about it, like, afterwards to me and stuff.
And the introduction, really he said, was basically, yeah, an introduction of you. Is Nick Flanagan does a podcast with Dango Jones. I mean, and then he said, like, what do you say to that? Or something yeah. to that effect. I'm paraphrasing him. And I took that to mean... Why would he do that? Meaning, why would Nick Flanagan lower himself to this standard?
I don't think that's what he was trying to say. No, this guy was in like a
You know
computer.
We're sponsored by Skull Candy.
Yeah, this guy was in like a computer, a computer commercial or something, you know. So like a cheap computer commercial. So it's like he's not
now
saying
you're putting him down. All right.
No, I don't actually. I can't remember what it was. He was, but no, he's not.
Okay.
He was very positive about the whole thing. Very stoked. He's really funny. And it was, and he's, but he's also.
Because I remember when I was listening to it, the first thing I did was I tweeted you going, or I texted you going, I'm listening to your podcast appearance right now.
Did you get jealous at all?
That you were doing someone
another
else's
podcast?
No, I'm not like that. People think that I am, but I'm not.
That would be weird, though.
That would be retarded. No, not at all. And in fact, you plugged this podcast
hell,
on his.
Hell yeah. If I'm on a podcast and I'm talking about the other podcast I do, I'm just, you know. I don't go on. So far, I've pretty much been limited to the Canadian podcast field, but in terms of doing appearances. But I do go on The Best Show sometimes, but that's
not a
podcast.
You plugged this show on The Best Show.
Which is great.
And it was endorsed.
Yeah. The whole podcast was just, I was mostly concerned because I ate a roti for like I shouldn't even say this because no one's going to listen to that podcast if I announce this, but I was eating a roti for like the first 25 to 30 minutes of the podcast.
I will say this, he did give you your due respect.
Yeah, he was so great about it. And he was... And that's a good thing about and he's interesting because it's like
me no. No I mean no. He took a shit on my name but with you he it was nice.
He was really excited. It's actually kind of amazing the amount of people that are that just in comedy who sometimes will get like very
he you know what it
they're
was
they're kind of like how did you break into that this market
here it is it's
well,
when
I
he
worked
went
with him
on
in
the
warehouse.
Mic yeah on the mic he went. Online, mm-hmm. and he looked up our podcast,
yeah.
and he couldn't believe that there was 34 ratings for this podcast.
Yeah.
He was like, "Wow, 34! Wow!" I'm like,
"Yeah,
why? Is it because you expected more or less? Because
I feel like,
it's only
yeah.
34, uh-huh. and this is what a lot of Canadians don't understand with their own podcasts is that there's 34 ratings for our podcast in the Canadian,
right."
iTunes
Can
store.
You say the word Canadian that way again, just so people get the tone that you're taking?
But I don't have the time, although it sounds like I do.
You have the
to
time.
Go to every iTunes store in the world for each country. I've done it for four countries, okay? And in the four countries, just four countries.
Right.
72 ratings for this podcast so far.
Hey, I know. I'm doing this stuff too. I'm checking the ratings in the Ghana iTunes about
right.
how many Dango Jones.
So
you know how many references? There's about three references to me in the like 30 reviews online.
It doesn't matter. It's all the same. It's all blanketed in the same. And you might be happy with your 8 comment ratings or your 15 ratings in the Canadian iTunes store, but 72 worldwide, pal.
Yeah, check out iTunes Norway.
That's like Does Joe Rogan,
care?
Mark Maron.
Those guys get like a million downloads.
Yeah, they do. No.
I can't believe the numbers they throw around when you read some
Because they're good.
Of these, but they are good.
Do a good podcast. Get some good ratings.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is going to... I don't know if people are going to...
No, it always gets dicey when it's the two of us. There's always like... We're either going to get deep into talking about how many iTunes reviews we've
Well,
read.
Listen, you know...
Or this is even
what
worse.
Ricky Gervais was wearing.
Yes, exactly.
At
or
the Golden Globes.
We're talking about like Kristen Stewart's butt.
Well, let's talk about that off the mic. One thing about the podcast that before we get into Nick's sordid life is And I have to give credit where credit is due. I took a cue from the Joe Rogan, Brian Redman, Red Band podcast. They have a loose kind of group who are associated with their podcast, and they call themselves Death Squad.
Yes.
And I have toyed with this idea for a few months now. I've even mentioned it on the mic when Damien was here that I wanted him to be part of the loose family that this podcast is all about. Mm-hmm. And I kind of gave a rule in my head that you have to be on the podcast for at least two times to be part of the family.
Right.
Damien's been on it three times. Brendan Canning has been on it twice. JC from our band has been on it twice. And even though he only had one episode on iTunes, Wade McNeil did two podcasts
with
us. I'd say
he counts.
He does count. And I'm down with all these guys. And so what we've been doing for the past week is I asked Andreas from Sweden's finest hardcore band, Anger's Curse, to help me out with a logo for our family, podcast family. And I texted Nick back and forth as to what we should call this, because it's always good to have a title.
Yeah.
And you came up with the word brigade.
Yeah, the brigade would sound good.
And then you said Maple Brigade. And I just thought that's just limiting it to Canadians.
I tend to go pretty silly when I'm coming up with band names.
Ole, who is the man behind the scenes here for the podcast that people have only heard once, and I think he uttered two words.
When was that he was on it?
In the summer, I think.
One of the Jim Brewer.
Yeah, I think it was for the Jim Brewer podcast. He's our webmaster. He handles our Facebook page. Twitter. I do the Twitter, but he handles the account. He handles the website. Everything online is Ole. And he's part of the family as well. So there's seven members, and we decided to not call it Maple Brigade, the Black Coffee Brigade.
Right. Black Coffee Brigade.
Nick and I currently I've just finished my coffee.
Still drinking the coffee.
Okay.
It's not fully black.
Neither is mine.
But it's close. Yeah.
So it's the Black Coffee Brigade, and the Black Coffee Brigade, I guess this is roll call, is myself,
right?
Nick Flanagan from Brutal Nights, Wade McNeil from Alexis on Fire and Gallows,
yes,
Damien Abraham from Fucked Up,
right?
Brendan Canning from Broken Social Scene, JC from the Danko Jones Extravaganza Band, and Ole Berlin from Bad Taste Records. With a special shout out, but he's not a full member yet because he only designed the logo. Andreas from Skogmo from Anger's Curse. And Andreas does our merch for us.
This is a solid team.
It is a solid team. I don't know what it means except that.
Yeah. We don't have duties, do we?
No, it's just a nice club that where there's a logo. We'll probably post it on the website. And it's just something that, you know.
We should make a private chat room that we all go in when we're mad.
And
we can vent. We can all vent
it
together.
Means nothing. I'm probably going to just get patches printed up and give it to the guys and you can sport it if you want.
That's
and,
great.
Or not. I was thinking just get.
Oh, I also
mugs.
Got a copy of your book. I don't want to. You gave me the headphones, but you also gave me a copy of the book. I'm really excited to read the book.
Yeah.
Although I'm not in the book.
No.
I didn't get asked to quote. I had so much to add. I had so much to add. This is a beef, man. You got me rolling on my beef.
Hey, get in line, man. There's so many people.
Yeah, I know. I don't actually care.
I've gotten to the point in my life where there's so many people who have beef with me for no reason whatsoever.
Which this would kind of fall in the category of. What was in your book, dude?
There's no meat to their beef that I don't care anymore.
Well, I'm going to have to write another book called The Unauthorized.
Go for it.
The Unauthorized Danko Jones and me, like something like that, you know, like my Danko Jones, my experience.
So what has your experience been? The reason why
Danko Jones or just in life?
No, the last 6 months we had to ram these podcasts together. The Gary Taxali one, the Sean Cullen one, which seems like a million years ago, and Damien Abraham's podcast before. I went on our Eurofestival jaunt, and you went to L.A.
Decided to go to Los Angeles.
To make it?
To make it.
Did you make it?
I don't know if I made it. I mean, I didn't really make any major, I didn't make any official inroads into making it.
You didn't do another Swoopy commercial?
Swoopy. I didn't do another Flicky. Sticky.
Sticky commercial.
I didn't do another Sticky. I didn't actually see Vince offer on this trip, although I think the next trip I go to LA, I will contact Vince.
We should
have
that guy on the podcast.
I'd love to have him on the podcast.
I would love it too.
That would be great.
That guy's a super duper for real celebrity.
He is very famous. He's been seen by millions of people. His face is recognizable to most Americans.
But and now
he was a write-in presidential candidate. He was in an episode of, or the Sticky ad is in an episode of Breaking Bad. I caught up on Breaking Bad and I watched, and there's a part with the Sticky commercial
in it.
No, it's right before I saw it.
Oh. You could have been in Breaking Bad.
I could have been in Breaking Bad.
And but for those of you who don't live in Canada, you might not know that Nick is slowly becoming known to millions of Canadians because you were doing commercials now. Can we talk about that?
I think so.
We just saw you.
Yeah.
On TV the other night doing a.
It was Canadian Tire. With George Shavallo, with the boxer, George Shavallo is in the commercial.
Nice.
Do you remember that? Is he in the? I haven't seen the commercial yet.
I did see it. It was three guys, and I guess that was George Shavallo, and then there's a Santa Claus and you.
Yeah,
I did see that guy in on a plane. Something about a painting.
What do you mean?
He was in an episode while I took a flight and saw some sort of...
I know what you're talking about. It's a show called Star Portraits that was
Star Portraits. And he did a painting or something?
So I don't understand Canadian television at all.
Did you talk to him about that?
No, we didn't talk very much at all. He said it was good working with your kid. And, you know, I'm very dubious about talking to boxers. I think they've been hit a lot. They don't want to talk anymore.
Can you talk about any of the other commercials you got coming down the tubes?
I don't know if I could probably mention it, but there is a beer commercial.
Okay, let's not mention it if you can't.
And I think it's probably just going to be on the internet, but I look very silly in it. That's about all I can say. And then, really, it's just been a few commercials here and there. And I mean, mostly it's cartoon writing. I mean, you talk about something, can you talk about it? It's like, I've been doing, the cartoon writing has been really solid, and so that's been fun.
What cartoons have you written
for? It's just the Oh No show that we've mentioned before, mostly. And then before that, there was League of Super Evil and Babar. And a show called Dino Dan, which is live action. So children's programming. I'm doing a lot of children's programming.
But what did you do in L.A.? Did you hook up with...
L.A., I just did a lot of sort of comedy shows, like booked, non-paying.
Give us some stars. Give us the marquee people.
Well, here's a question for you, because you've gone to L.A. a lot, and I don't think you can do that. I think that that's like tacky, right? To be like, I was at this party, and then this person was also at the party.
No, happens that I've noticed being in L.A. is if you make... a few friends or a few connections, it's just slowly like this tree emerges instantly.
Oh, it's so crazy.
Branches just suddenly connect. And I've been in situations because of one person. I've met this person, that person, this person.
It's great.
And it's not network. I don't network.
It's totally different than networking. It's just a natural progression of who is in that city
and who hangs out with who.
So it's just like...
But I've been lucky that, I mean, I have a real low tolerance for small talk and schmoozing as you...
Have you seen the weather lately?
Yeah, exactly. And so when I hang out with someone or I become friends with someone, it's because I like that person. And so in LA, it's just happened that I've met a whole bunch of actually really cool people.
I love it down there.
That have introduced me to even more cool people.
We were watching movies and stuff like in my friend's backyard that he'd have like people come by, and it was like a really good way just to meet a bunch of people. And, you know, Neil Hamburger has a monthly show there that's really fun at the Satellite and the Silver Lake.
What we were trying to
get you down there.
I was going to fly down there and just get a hotel room and schedule a whole bunch of podcasts. You come to the room and we just greet all the guests, and we were trying to get them as heavy as possible. It was going to be monumental, some of the guests that we were talking about. Yeah, it was going to be pretty big, but couldn't do it. I schedule touring. Our record came out, and there's a lot of press tours that I had to do. I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. I would have done it. It would have just been, 2 or 3 days mm-hmm. of just nonstop talking mm-hmm.
in the podcast capital of the world, Los Angeles, California. I mean, that's where, especially the comedy podcasts, and those are really some of the only podcasts I listen to are the comedy ones. And
were you writing scripts in LA?
I was just doing work on the animation stuff in Toronto, Canadian stuff, and
so why did you even fly out there? Couldn't you just
Wanted to do comedy shows there and hang out and meet people and get away from the city.
Are we going to
sort of
about
set the stage?
Personal life, which we've touched on in past.
Well, I was living with someone, and then it all crumbled like a house of cards.
In April,
caught fire. You ever burned a house of cards?
And then in August, 4 months later, you went to LA. And currently,
in July, actually, I was going there.
Oh, and currently, you are house sitting for a mutual friend of ours.
Right. I'm cat sitting. I've been doing this is since April. I've been doing a really crazy mixture of travel and cat sitting and subletting and
couch surfing.
A bit of couch surfing. And
are you home?
Yeah. I mean,
do you have a home now?
Well, I'm actually moving into a place for 3 months or so starting tomorrow.
You've been homeless now for 8 months, right?
No, five months, I think it is, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
Isn't
sorry.
Since April. So that's
yeah, so that's like 7 months.
7 months. And
no, that's 8 months.
Is it?
April, May, June, July, August.
I was
September,
really hoping
October,
we could
November.
Avoid that part where we name all the things and count it.
Eight months.
Wow. 8 months. That's long. So I don't know why I did that. it certainly makes your life confusing to do that. But no, it's been fine. Although it's the weirder part is when you're in your own city and you're sort of couch surfing. Like being in Los Angeles, it actually really worked out well. Like I stayed somewhere for one whole month. I sublet and then cat sat for a week, went somewhere else for like another week. And that was like kind of the extent of it. But when I've been in Toronto and sort of not having a place, it's been very confusing because it's and just moving in the city like every month or so is really weird. Now I don't have all of my possessions, like I've had to really reduce them, you know.
In a way that's good.
It's Buddhist. I'm Buddhist now. But yeah, I don't know. It's I think I found it freeing initially or something. And now I'm just like kind of over it. I mean, it's kind of crazy to be like, well, where am I gonna live in a month? What am I going to do? Like, you have to map it out like that. So, yeah, this next thing of a few months. And then hopefully after that, I'll go back to LA and maybe pursue more of the stuff we were talking about, you know.
While you were in LA, mm-hmm. I was getting ready to go on tour. We just got back from Europe. We never told anybody, but on Halloween night, and it has nothing to do with Halloween shenanigans, Halloween night after the show, I suffered second degree burns on my face.
Yeah, that's insane. You texted me shortly after it happened, or you wrote me about it. It sounded really serious.
It was, it got taken away, in an ambulance. And because of the, I could have had something go through my lungs. I was rushed through emergency. And in the end, everything was fine. I was still able to play the next night, even though it felt like, because of the burns on my face, it felt like I was wearing a mask.
Wow.
I could feel the skin just like hanging there.
You were like...
but nobody... No, through
Fisher
the,
Spooner? Who is it who had a mask and performed?
I don't know.
MF Doom.
Oh, okay.
You
yeah.
Like MF Doom.
Yes.
For a night.
Through the magic of stage lighting and our lighting guy, Magnus, we were able to conceal the fact that I had these burns. But what compounded that was I was starting to get bronchitis. So I had these burns on my face and coupled with coughing fits, it was excruciatingly painful.
You must have felt like an 1800s like novel, like a Dickens character.
Oh yeah, yeah. Just put the hood and the cape and
is that a thing, by the way, where if you have a sort of traumatic thing like that happen to you, your like immune system is a bit more susceptible to stuff.
I was starting to get it before. Mm-hmm. In fact, after the burn, my cough went away for a couple of days mm-hmm. due to the shock. I've never been in shock before, and it was the first time I was ever in shock.
So what's that like?
I couldn't stop. Like, I just had to shake my hands, and I couldn't stop walking and moving. It was crazy. And then when I got back from the hospital and got back on the tour bus, all I kept doing was eating. And our tour manager, who had also been in shock, gave me Sprite, like sugar, to kind of calm me down in a way. And I also had...
Is that code?
No. I also had a sedative from the hospital. Yeah. And I passed right out, and I was fine the next day.
Is it a heavy-duty sedative?
Yeah.
Because I was on. They put me on a morphine drip when I broke my arm.
Wasn't that big. Yeah. No.
That one's crazy.
All I was doing was I just couldn't stop walking. Yeah. But update is all is well. I'm actually... My face is actually even clearer. It was like getting a chemical peel.
I can't tell at all that anything like that happened. So that's so
crazy.
Lucky and crazy.
Everybody was saying how lucky I was because it could have... the burn could have gone down my mouth where it happened
and singed your throat.
My throat down to my lungs.
Wow.
Which is why I got rushed through, because that's what they thought I had. Ugh. And everything is 100%. But because it was on my face, I didn't shave for 2 weeks, and I actually had a mustache.
Oh, weird. You had a mustache also over, like... weird skin, right?
Yeah, because I didn't want to shave over the burns. It would have been, I didn't want to.
Did you look like a winter brother?
I had a mustache, and so like... I started. Then we went on tour in Canada, and the first day of the Canadian tour, I showed up with this mustache mm-hmm. in Ottawa, and Adam, our drummer, was like, "What's going on here? What are we doing?"
I didn't sign up for a mustache.
He had a beard, and JC can grow a mustache.
Yeah.
It takes me 2 weeks. It doesn't take JC that long. But Adam had a beard, and he goes, "Well, I'll shave my beard off, keep the mustache, and we'll go on stage, all of us, with mustaches, because it's Movember."
Right.
But I shaved it. I shaved off the mustache before the first show.
So no, you didn't want to.
Nah. No. Yeah. No one's ever seen me with a mustache. I've never grown one.
Yeah.
I felt really weird looking at myself in the mirror. But when I shaved it off, I really did see that my face was completely clear.
That's so lucky.
And that was a Canadian tour.
Yeah. I feel like I want to start talking about my ability to grow a mustache, but that we should talk more about your crazy accident.
No, that was it. I mean
that's like Hetfield. It's like a minor Hetfield.
Yeah,
style.
I felt that way too. But
I don't know if you guys listening know, I'm sure you do, but the burn that I probably don't need to. Just wiki James Hetfield plus burn.
Yeah, and
do you think that's why he's obsessed with flames on his like shirts and motorcycles?
I think he's got a rockabilly thing going on.
I've tamed the fire. I have tamed fire. These are possible Metallica lyrics.
We're playing with them.
When?
Next year.
That's awesome.
Well,
not after this podcast gets
technically
out.
Yeah. No, technically we are. We're doing the Soundwave Festival.
This is Lars. This is Lars.
Well, if you keep up with the impressions, we might not.
I know. I did the Alec Baldwin impression. Just working on Ira Glass from This American Life. You ever listen to this? You've listened to This American
Life. I have, yeah.
Hi, welcome to This American Life. And
it doesn't go like that. It goes,
"The study of comets is a very interesting thing. Some people think comets are actually gods that have come to..."
I can't. Anyway.
Are you going to incorporate that in your
I want to do it. I want to do it. I want to get Alec Baldwin and Ira Glass.
You should do impressions
on a baseball team.
You should do impressions of people that are
first?
Completely like
what's
you.
On second?
You should do impressions of people that you are completely off the mark with.
Well, I feel like I might be with those two guys.
Here's my impression of like Cuba Gooding Jr. from Jerry Maguire.
Show me the money.
Exactly. Yeah, here's my impression of John C. Reilly in Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story.
Hey guys, did whatever. Listen to my rock music before.
Hey, give me your impression of Tina Fey.
Oh yeah, Tina Fey is like
impression of
Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin.
Well, don't you know we're going over to Alaska tomorrow, so remember to pack the scarves.
The important part was that I somehow like hit the mic with my hand during that impression.
That is Nick's impression of Tina Fey's impression of Sarah Palin.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I am realizing I basically am one of these people. I do love doing impressions, but...
Well, how about people who are
I do impressions of people's impressions generally. Like when I hear a person who's really good at impressions, it's like that will always inform.
How about people who are famous, but we don't know what they sound like? Like Herb Alpert.
I actually just listened to Alec Baldwin interviewing Herb Alpert on his podcast. So it'd be like, hey,
I guess we do know
what Herb, you're very, I really love all of your music. It's been great for getting me through all of my problems that I always have. And then he's like, yeah, thank you very much, man. I'm Herb Alpert. Things are very fun.
How about Carlos Santana?
Same voice. Exactly the same voice.
Okay.
Hello.
You should incorporate that in your show.
Hello, this is Carlos Santana. Santana. Do you know he's Joel Santana's dad? That's a little known.
What? He's Jewish?
No. Joel Santana is a rapper.
Oh.
Carlos Santana is
that's the joke his son? Is,
no.
Oh.
But that was the joke I tried to make. He's Tito Santana's brother.
Carlos, is he really?
No.
What are you doing to me? How about I'm just trying to get you to we're workshopping here.
We're workshopping.
How about the, what's your impression of the owner of the Blue Jays, the Toronto Blue Jays?
Who owns Steinbrenner?
No, that's the owner of the Yankees.
Hey, I'm George Steinbrenner.
But that's a Seinfeld thing.
That's, I'm doing the Larry David, George Steinbrenner.
That is Larry David.
Yeah, George Steinbrenner died.
What's your impression of the executive producer of Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Larry.
No, not Larry David.
Robert Weedoo.
I have no idea what the name is.
Well, then it's hard. Jeff Garland. Do you mean Jeff Garland?
No, I don't know.
I don't know who this person is.
What's your impression
of of a person? Do an impression of...
Do an impression of the director of photography for Cheers.
Okay, that's the famous Czeslaw Milosz, the famous Czech... I believe, or it might have been Nestor Alimentos, who was the cinematographer for Cheers. So he was like,
"Hey, man, can you just all move into frame? I just need everybody in frame for this shot."
This is very offensive to Latinos. Basically, every one of my impressions is somehow, offensive to Latinos.
Dancing your giant head does not fit on camera. Can you get surgery?
Do you have an impression of the editor for Ebony magazine?
A lot of editor impressions that you want me to do. The Ebony.
What's your impression of the?
Okay, editor of Ebony would be like, "Oh my God, we have got to get this in on time. The copy is terrible this week."
Actually, let me do a search online for editor of Ebony, Jerry Goldfarb.
There you go. So that was an impression of a guy named Jerry Goldfarb. What about you? Do you have any impressions? You probably have a couple impressions you've done, right?
No.
Let me. Hello, welcome down under to the world of Motorhead.
That sounds like the alligator hunter or whatever. What's that guy's name?
The Crocodile Hunter.
Crocodile Hunter.
Steve Irwin.
That sounds like Steve Irwin.
And his daughter, Bindi. I've done Gilbert Gottfried impressions before, too.
Everybody's got a Gilbert Gottfried impression.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it. Artie Lang.
God. You have an Artie Lang impression?
It's just you talk kind of like this. I don't know. It's like you just do that.
That sounds like Gilbert Gottfried.
No, Gilbert Gottfried would be like, and then it's the same. It's the same.
That's what I
said. I have a terrible impression of. But it's fun. The very first comedy set I did a parody of the 7 words you can't say on television.
No.
You were there for it. Oh. But yeah, I was like, obviously. I mean, not that your first set is never good, but it's like, I feel...
Oh, is this back in the day for...
Yeah, I was like, here's 7 words you can't say on TV. And, but, boobie. rump. You know, like just not words that, like words you can say on TV, basically, is the joke of it. And then the impression thing was I would do JFK impressions, definitely. I'd be like, I am JFK.
That's great.
I want to.
But that's Stern. Stern does that.
Well, but that's, it's every JFK impression is Von Meter, right? I think it's, that's his name, Von Meter. The guy who in the 60s did the JFK voice.
Okay.
And I think he even did Robert Kennedy as well because they had very similar voices.
Yeah, it's obviously. All Boston.
Yeah, it's all, every impression is just this slightly pitched differently, like, ah, hey, how are you today? I'm fine.
Socialite Boston.
Socialite Boston. I mean, who knows? But
I don't know.
And then he got assassinated. JFK got assassinated. And that guy Von Meter's career was over. And then, you know, like, I feel Chief Quimby basically has that voice from The Simpsons, like the police chief.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of repopularized people doing that type of voice for fun and profit.
But I just think that Stern was doing it before The Simpsons.
Back in the late 80s. Yeah, you're probably right. He was doing Ted Kennedy and stuff. I feel like he was doing more like Ted Kennedy impressions than even JFK or Robert Kennedy.
Ted Kennedy, maybe because of that whole kind of weird
many
incident.
Terrible things that happened with Ted Kennedy.
But he's done like JFK. I know that. I've heard it more times than a Ted Kennedy impression.
The other impression thing I did was Michael Jackson as an impressionist, like as a comedian, like sort of what you're talking about, but it was Michael Jackson. Like I would start it off and be like, here's my impression of Michael Jackson as a stand-up comedian. He'd be like, hey, everybody, my name is Michael Jackson. I just want to take my children, please. I molest them. Like it was, and then he would go, here's my impression of Bill Cosby as, and it would be Bill Cosby molesting Michael Jackson's children. And then Christopher Walken molesting Bill Cosby as a child. So it would be, and this is all Michael Jackson doing these impressions.
That's
so
a good routine. Why don't you pick that up?
I don't know. I still get requests for it.
You should.
I can't do – the problem is the Cosby impression and the Walken impression at this point have gone so far beyond being hack that they're just everybody's. You know, they're almost can't even do those impressions anymore.
Well, then don't make it Christopher Walken.
Michael Cosby used to sound a bit more like Cosby, but now it's like, I know I'm Bill Cosby.
Well, don't do Bill Cosby. Do Michael J.
Christopher
Fox.
Christopher Walken be like, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, like it just sounds like
don't
Dracula.
Do those. Do like Charles Grodin. Michael
Charles
J.
Grodin.
Fox.
Are these voices you're saying that are impossible to actually do?
Michael J. Fox, Family Ties.
Mallory, I don't know if we're going to be friends later.
Perfect.
And then Charles Grodin would be like, Mallory, you know, Beethoven was a tough thing to. That actually is not that far from getting to me.
Yeah, how about Cliff from Cheers?
I don't know. He'd be like, hey, what's up? I'm Norm from Cheers.
That's Norm from Cheers.
Okay, sorry.
Cliff, the mailman.
Hey, Norm. I'm Cliff. The fiscal Cliff from Cheers. It's a topical reference.
Hey, listen.
What's your clout score?
I don't want to eat at Chipotle after this.
Where do you want to go?
A lot of people don't know that we have a tradition, Nick and I, even dragging whoever guest is on the episode to Chipotle because Nick wants to eat at Chipotle, and there's a Chipotle near my place.
It's a little taste of Mexico.
Look, I really like Chipotle, but I love like real Mexican food.
Yeah.
Chipotle, living in Canada, is a good substitute when you have a craving for Mexican food, but
there's better Mexican even in Canada, in Toronto.
Of course, but it's near my place.
Or not Mexican.
It's the nearest Mexican-esque place near my house.
Man, Toronto is so bad for having places that are named after other cities. Like,
it's part of the inferiority complex that Canadians have.
There's a restaurant that's called, it's more of a takeout place, but it's called I Went to Philly. Cheesesteak.
No,
place.
It's a whole.
I went to Philly.
It's an inferiority.
I've been to France. I ate it. I've been to France the other day.
Yeah. Well, here's our thing: is when JC and I are in America.
Yeah.
Besides the shows.
Yeah.
The one thing that is on the top of the list is Mexican food.
So you're just always morning, doing Mexican
noon,
food.
And night.
Yeah.
Because we're starved up here for it in Canada.
Yeah. No, I was, I mean, when I was there, I was eating a lot of Mexican. But there's this place, Macho's Tacos. I would go there all the time in the area of where I was staying. And it was
awesome. Place on our record
one. It's so inexpensive, you know? And then there's more sit down kind of like Mexican places that are also really good, a lot of them. And yeah, it's good food. I miss it. Let's go to Chipotle.